Hey, everyone, this is Drew. Before the show gets started, I want to let everyone out there know about the 100th episode extravaganza for the Hot Garbage Podcast. On January 30th at Kelly's Olympian, the knife shop, Hot Garbage is going to be celebrating its 100th episode live with The Student Loan, Load B, and comedian Anthony Lopez.
Come out and see live music. Eat a taco.
It's basically going to be live music and some great comedy and a little
Do they have tacos at Kelly's?
A little bit of Andy and me live and in person. We would love to see you there. We need to see you there, and we'd appreciate it if you could be there. That's January 30th at Kelly's Olympian at 9 p.m. Thanks a lot. Here's the show.
I hope they have tacos.
You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Happy New Year to our listeners out there. Welcome to 2016. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the roller coaster to my swing set, my dear friend Andy.
Haile Emperor Selassie.
Are you doing like chant now? Is that
I've gone into full like Rasta mode now. Oh, good. That it's wintertime and I'm just embracing roots and culture.
Yeah, this Rasta winter.
Ja.
Well, did you enjoy the holidays? I don't want to get too far into it because who gives a shit?
Well, give you the highlight and low light of my holidays.
Please.
I tried pho for the second time in my life.
Second time.
And went home and immediately vomited harder than I have in probably 6 years.
Oh, I got a little vomit story for you we're on the topic. Let me hear
part
two.
I went to the bathroom and thought, maybe I'll puke. I puked from like a mid-range crouch with such force that the puke hit me back in the face.
Wait,
the
mid-range crouch? What is that? Is that a unit of puke?
Like, so my knees weren't on the ground yet. Like, I was going down to puke in the toilet.
Gotcha.
I still had like, I was in a deep squat.
Okay.
And I had that much.
So you weren't crumpled around the toilet.
No,
giving it a hug. You were on the way down.
It was a powerful mess. And then I felt better. And then it went through everyone I know.
Was it big noodles?
No, it was actually pho's a great thing to eat if you're going to throw up.
Really?
There's not much to it. Just like chewed up noodles.
I had a New Year's Eve, went to
best case scenario.
A seafood restaurant. And I got some, I don't know how you say it. I think it's like chiapina or something like that.
Chiapano,
yeah. So it's like a broth.
Fish soup,
essentially.
Yeah.
With like seven kinds of fish in, and it was delicious. But then I got back to the hotel, and within 10 minutes, I had vomited once. I felt like my throat was closing up a little bit. I was kind of gagging, and then I vomited.
I think you're allergic to one of those exotic fish.
But I was terrified that was going to be a night of food poisoning, just because a bowl of mixed fish food poisoning sounds like the worst kind of 12 vomit evening one could ever hope for.
One time for each fish.
So 2016 already off to a great start because I dodged that bullet and I just had a mystery vomit. So maybe I'm just deeply sick.
I don't get sick very often and I feel like getting it out of the way at the end of the year was just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that holiday
thing.
Got
rid
too.
Of all 2015's vomit and I got all kinds of new vomit growing in my gullet. Or my
year
gut
new
bucket,
vomit.
As I call it.
I like it.
My crud dumpster.
You've turned over a new vomit leaf. Well, our silent partner, Nate, is joining us, as he always does, making the sound happen. And another anniversary of sorts, our good friend Tim Ledwith, a Portland comedian, is back.
Hello.
After just about a year's absence. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's kind of happened this way.
An accident both times, yeah.
Yeah, an accident both times.
Well, I mean, I wanted to just catch up with you, what you've been doing from a comedy perspective. It's been a busy year for you. I've seen that you've been out there quite a bit, and you got a lot of shows right now. What's been going on in the comedy world for you?
I've been busy. Lately, I've been on a lot of shows, and then I'm also starting a show starts on the 25th at the High Water Mark.
Nice.
Kind of taking over the slot that Curtis Cook used to have there.
It's a great spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole new show. Me and my friend Alex Rios are taking it over. And then also my friend Veronica, who is a close friend of mine. She was a member of Faith Twain and Prize Hog, and she does
both bands you played last time.
Yeah, both bands I played last time that are not bands now, or maybe Faith Twain is, but she's not in it. She does her own project now, EMS, Eat My Shit. I think it's a noise project.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and she's going to be the house band
project, man.
For the show. And also me and her actually have a music project that we're doing where we're doing She's going to manipulate the and use her noise setup to manipulate the karaoke versions of sad songs. Both her and I have had a hard year. So we're like, hey, let's do this project where we do these covers of these really evil kind of distorted covers of sad songs. So we're going to premiere one.
That's going to be super fun.
Yeah. And me and her are starting a podcast as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that I got some things on the horizon, but for that show, she's going to be the house band. If you can imagine a noise setup as the house band.
It's a really inviting thing for welcoming fans to the show.
So yeah, we're going to use this kind of space as just to do kind of the stuff that I have always wanted to do with comedy, which is kind of make it more experimental and weird and incorporate music and sound and art.
So is it when you say a show? I mean, I know a lot of Portland comedians host shows where they're hosting.
Yeah.
Basically,
so I'm going to be hosting and producing the show, and there'll be a video component and multimedia, and then there will be comedians going up, but there's going to be some surprises and some weird shit that goes down.
So you talked about your sensibility, kind of the experimental side of things. I know we talked a little bit about this the first time you were on, but what specifically is your vision for that kind of thing? What does it mean to be a little more experimental when it comes to comedy?
Well,
and what does that look like to you?
Well, for me, I mean, I think for me, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, there's like, on one side, I'm like a big fan of comedy, so like all of it, you know. Yeah. Like I can laugh at anything, so I'm not like a snob about things. At the other time, when I think about things I would actually want to do, if given the space, if given the opportunity, given the technology, like I'm far more, you know, I'm far more influenced by people like, you know, like Laurie Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Laurie Anderson is probably as much an influence on me as you know, any other comedian or anything. Cool Keith. Cool Keith is probably as much an influence on me.
Dr. Octagon is one of my favorite hip hop albums.
Oh yeah. I mean, so yeah, things like that. I don't know. I it's hard to explain. I have a background in like doing experimental video stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there are there a lot of comedians in Portland or friends of yours that are doing something similar to that
there are some.
On that tip and like be
there are some. Phil Schallberger is one of them for sure. Phil Schallberger does a lot of weird stuff with sound and video. And, you know, there's a show that Steven Wilbur started that he took over that's at Helium called The Test Tube that will have a lot of stuff like that, which is for experimental comedy. My current roommate Christian Ricketts, who's probably one of my favorite comics in town. He's done some stuff like that. Jason Traeger, who's also a comic, who also is like he's also has a background being he's an artist and you know he's been it's funny he's like he's been around forever like doing all he's like a Renaissance man doing everything and when Lemmy died recently, he was, you know, everyone's posting all their shit about that. And he's like posting pictures of himself from like 1983, in flyers that he made for Motorhead in San Francisco in the early 80s. Pictures of him, like, you know, in Motorhead t-shirts, like before I was born. And like, you know, he's been around doing a lot of different stuff for a long time. He's going to be actually on our first show. He's going to be headlining it on the 25th at High Water Mark at 9 p.m.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Lemmy's funeral, by the way, is going to be a live cast, I think. I think
Man,
it's going to be streamed.
Bummer. I love Lemmy. I feel like I didn't realize how much everyone else loved Lemmy, too. And it's a big outreach of people being very devastated by the loss of this rock star.
I saw him at the Lucky Devil Strip Club here in Portland.
You did? When he was in town?
Yeah, when he was in town. He came in the night I happened to be there. He played video poker.
Fuck yeah.
Not
that's
a tip man.
That's what he's known for. He's known for going to places and just playing video poker. I mean, well, you know, I think I posted a thing about it when it happened, and it was like, it's funny because I'm in recovery right now for my addiction to crystal meth, but it is true. It was like kind of a message to like kids out there. It's like, you know, you can do meth, and then you know, don't do meth because you might die at 70 of unrelated cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's a cautionary tale.
Cautionary tale, kids.
He definitely had the Mr. Burns syndrome going on, though, where he just was doing so much stuff, not one thing could fit through that door.
Exactly. You know, yeah. It was a perfect balance of ailments.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I do want to talk about this addiction portion because we didn't really get into that the last time you were here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's weird the last time, I think, because we brought this up because I was attempting to be sober. I was here last time, but that didn't last very long. But this time is a bit different. But yeah.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, like, you put yourself into this pretty intensive outpatient program that you're in right now, 60 days sober, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
What was the tipping point that made you take that action? Because you hear so often that, like, addicts resist that kind of help. What was it that just changed for you that you realized you needed to do something about this?
I had a lot of shit go down this year and in, you know, my life before then. But, you know, it wasn't like a thing in particular because, honestly, I think that this model of, like, where people are like, oh, you got to hit rock bottom and then you go, like, that's...
Ideally, you don't want to hit rock bottom.
No, I have hit many rock bottoms. I've hit my head on a lot of rocks, but hitting rock bottom and then going into treatment sounds like it wouldn't make any sense because you're going from two extremes.
That's interesting.
You know, okay. So I did a lot of preparation before I actually went into it at the end of October. I did a lot of preparation. I just started minimizing my use starting at the end of the summer and. You know, just like figuring and just preparing myself to do this. And then, you know, eventually I just did. But this year I went pretty extreme in the other way, probably more around in the end of the winter, beginning of the spring, you know, and then into the summer, I guess. But in the summer is when I just started really thinking about, like, all right, I got to do something. I mean, I've known I've had to do something for a long time. I had even attempted, I think, like around this time last year, but it just didn't.
Just didn't.
Stay. I wasn't ready. And, you know, once I finally did, I'm like, fuck, I feel better than I've ever felt in my whole life. I mean, I have the longest clean time since I was 10.
Right now.
I've been clean from everything. So, but, and I've been clean from Crystal for that amount of time too, but I mean, but from everything, it's fucking, it's crazy. I mean, I have the longest clean. I've doubled the amount of the longest clean time I've had since I was 10 right now. So
does it change your creative process? Like, have you done a lot of writing in this time, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't generally write things down, but everything I'm better at. Everything I'm better at. It seems so obvious, but everything
well,
I'm better at.
Well, sometimes people think that, like, their addiction or their personality flaw or something is, like, their ticket to creativity. Some people look at that as a crutch or something, and they're afraid to take it away.
I never gave myself enough time sober to, like, experience life that way. So it's like, so I always thought I was worse sober because I'd only give myself a week. Well, in a week, after being a fucking drug addict and an alcoholic, I feel miserable and I don't feel creative and I don't feel anything. I feel depressed. Mm-hmm. Well, once I got past that time period, and here's the thing, it's not just the drugs. I'm working on myself in all these other ways. I have a drug counselor, a nutritionist, a mentor, an acupuncture. I go to acupuncture 5 days a week. I have a primary care doctor and a mental health therapist that deals with PTSD and addiction, all working with each other. I have a team of motherfuckers on me for free.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Thanks, Obama.
I could use – I mean, I don't have any addictions, but I would love a team.
Yeah, I got a team totally working on me. Team. So I'm –
That nutritionist I'm especially jealous of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how good she is, but it's good. I mean, she's great. It's fine.
No,
dude, I'm telling you, they finally honored me in this city. I got an honored citizen's pass for the bus.
Oh,
it's great,
man.
I'm getting access to all these services. I got a free bus pass. It's cool. Be an addict for 22 years.
Well, if you want to get clean, be an addict first. That's what that's what they always say. Yeah, what was the process of getting you
on? Well, I mean, these people, these programs are generally run by other addicts, so they kind of know.
Yeah.
You know?
When someone needs it. And
yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And listen, my counselor is really fucking cool, man. He's like this dude. He's like one of the most like calming, like gentle, like down to earth motherfuckers. And, you know, this guy's tatted down from his face down to his fucking fingers. And you're like, and he's like this, you know, he looks like this white thug. He carries himself, you know.
Yeah.
Been shot fucking like 9 times, did 12 years in federal prison, and he just
12
like,
years.
Yeah, and he is just like, he's got his master's, he's brilliant, one of the smartest guys I've ever talked to. He's like, I don't know, it's been an interesting journey. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really involved in my recovery, and I really like it, and it's been great for comedy. It's been, but that's if that's
right,
question
yeah.
I originally asked is that, I mean, everything I do better, karaoke I do better.
Yeah,
I'm excited about life. I get up in the morning. I'm excited. I have my own like little routine now. And
oh man, there's been kind of like a turnover in the karaoke scene in Portland. Where's the go-to spot now? Oh, it used to be Chopsticks, right? And that's done.
Well, there's a Chopsticks on Sandy
still
a thing
now. Moved, but I've never been. Okay. I haven't been in Hollywood. The new one, but I like Chopsticks 3 because that place is like you see like crackheads playing.
That's on the fringe. That's like in that spot that
it's like weirdos
in North Portland that anybody could be there.
Yeah, you think you're in a fucking David Lynch movie.
But it's always packed in there. It's always full.
Really?
Well, I've been there twice, I guess. I can't say always, but every time I was in there, both times I was in there, it was full.
Really?
Like Saturday night, there were people.
Oh,
there.
Saturday night, maybe.
I don't do a lot of weekday karaoke.
Yeah, see, that's I be going out to karaoke on weekdays, you know? I just go to like, I like this one guy, I can't remember his name. But he does it at High Watermark, and he does it at the No, and there's nobody ever there at his nights, and it's cool. And he's like, you know, so I've been going to that, this guy's nights on like Sunday nights at the No, and Tuesday nights at
I didn't even know the
High
No
Watermark.
Did
what?
I didn't know the No had
yeah comedy. Sunday nights
or, karaoke. That's
yeah, it's
great.
Fun. No one's there. It's cool.
I went out with a friend for her bachelorette party. We went to Silverado, and it was karaoke night there.
Yeah, Silverado has a karaoke night.
We were going for like gay male strippers, and it was karaoke. It was kind of a big letdown.
Is it stripper karaoke? Like
no,
they
it was
do
just
a
normal bar.
Porn?
It was just that
no,
night.
Just a dick-free sing-off.
Mm-hmm. Just another spot to
That's
hang
a disappointment
out.
Yeah.
For a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Why did you get invited to a bachelorette party?
It was the weirdest thing. It was my homie Marshall and his ex-wife Mira. They did a bachelorette party since it was just them. And me and Kim and their friend in town. It was just like 5 people. So we just went out together and we were trying to go to like naked ladies and naked dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out like not a lot of chicks want to see naked dudes, so they don't do well.
I don't know where to go for naked dudes.
Well,
I'm not seeking them out, so that's probably part of the problem.
Silverado, and then there's the newer place, Stud or some shit like that.
Stud sounds about right.
And then, but those are like both pretty like gay, like, more catered to gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And then there used to be the spot at kind of near the corner of 82nd and Killingsworth.
It was called Veiny Canes, I think.
No, I don't know, but it was a female strip club all during the week, and then it was a male strip club on the weekends. But that was the one that was for like that was like the
I think
ladies.
It's called the Viewpoint.
The Viewpoint, yeah. And then
they had an upstairs and a downstairs.
Yeah,
and it was like ladies upstairs, men downstairs.
You could get them
like
both
that.
At the same time
on
wow.
the weekends. Yeah, they'd have
yeah
like,
weekends.
They'd
yeah,
have stuff going on both.
That
both
sounds
floors.
like the idea of peanut butter and jelly in the same jar, like. Sure, it maybe saves you a jar, but maybe not worth it. Maybe not. Maybe it's the
well,
worst
the
of both worlds.
The place shut down, I'll tell you that much.
I drove by and they were having an estate sale. I wanted to stop so bad. I should have gone in.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you get rid of there?
There was a bunch of children's toys out on the curb, which was crazy.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of kids' toys up in that bitch.
I feel like a strip club is already, you know, adjacent or like at least open to the possibility of some kind of prostitution. I mean, it's more likely to happen there than a normal bar.
Yeah.
But then I think for some reason, if you mix the genders, it's much closer to being prostitution. I feel like it's that much closer to it happening and being a combustible situation. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I would do anything for money.
Yeah.
That's my new joke I say on stage, but it's not a joke. I just put it out there. I would do anything for money.
It's like the secret to you. You're just putting it into the universe.
Yeah, I'm like trying to like, no, seriously, I'll do anything. I need money.
Well, on that grim note, Tim, did you bring some music to play this?
Yes, I did.
What's something you want to share?
Okay, and this is a very dark song that I'm going to play. Here, hold on. Let me put my phone into airplane mode so no one calls me because I'm very popular.
Thank you for your consideration.
Then we won't have to hear your Spice Girls ringtone.
No, yeah, no, no. I have a LaBouche Be My Lover ringtone.
It's pretty strong.
Okay, this is a song by The Crystals, and it's called Please Hurt Me. And now everyone thinks The Crystals of the they have that song He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss, and that song's really fucked up because, you know, it kind of promotes domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Well, this one I think is even more fucked up because I think it
it definitely promotes domestic violence.
This one
it
like
removes all the ambiguity.
Yeah, this one no, this one more promotes like emotional violence. So yeah, Please Hurt Me by The Crystals. I don't know. Just smoked some crack, and then I hit like a curb, and I did a full flip over the front of the bike and landed like on my feet. Jeez. Like to the point in which I don't even know if it happened.
Does crack give you like a feeling of invulnerability? Like
yeah. Alcohol, where you're especially like, if you're really drunk when you do it. Yeah.
It's like, the combination of the two.
Yeah. I don't even know if I did a flip. It might not have. None of it might have
or
happened.
Or if you were even on a bike.
You might have gently stepped down from
I'm
the
bike. I'm pretty sure it happened, though. I remember it. It was a thing. But, yeah, I was crazy. I'd be like, you know, one time I was, like, riding my bike down Alberta Street. The wrong direction. No hands. Trying to do poppers. The bottle spilled in my beard. I was getting high for a while.
The whole beard full of poppers.
Yeah. Full of poppers.
What's a popper?
Popper, like amyl nitrate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Popper.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought you were saying
yeah, jalapeno popper.
P-A-U-P-E-R. I thought you were talking about a poor person.
Oh, yeah. Poppers. I was just trying to do a poor person. I thought you were going to go with jalapeno poppers because that was also my favorite food.
Right. And they there was a place in your beard for them.
Yeah,
but
was definitely.
That's not a
there was definitely back then, too, there was definitely jalapeno popper in my beard. In fact, actually, Kristen, our mutual friend, that she used to buy me, she would get, when we were still together, she would get me giant bags of jalapeno poppers. If I don't know, she'd be like, as a surprise, she'd be like, I brought you poppers.
You'd be like, the wrong, those are the wrong kind.
Yeah. Well, you got the ones with cheddar cheese. I wanted the ones with cream cheese.
I wanted the one with amyl nitrates.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I want the ones that loosen me up everywhere. Everyone thinks it just loosens your butthole up. No, it loosens everything up. That's why the thing with poppers is they market it wrong. They should be marketing it to everyone. Because every girl I know that's done poppers during sex loves it. My fucking estranged wife loves it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I shouldn't have said that online. Whatever. She don't care. Yeah. She's got bottles of it out in her room. She's estranged. And we're on very good terms.
Man. I've heard Kevin Allison does a podcast called Risk, and he talks about how he was addicted to
Special
VHS head cleaner.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah. They have to name it different things because they're not allowed to, you know. But it's but it does the same thing to straight people as it does to gay people.
Mm-hmm.
But they are like terrible at marketing it because every straight person I know fucking barely knows about it. And it's really big with the gay, you know, it's always been a thing. It's actually an awesome scene in, what's the movie with Al Pacino where the game, where,
Cruisin' Afternoon?
Oh. Cruisin', where he, and he goes through, he goes through this fucking gay, like, club scene, like, from, like, gritty, like, and there's an extended scene. I think James Franco, like, refound or re-edited, like, the scene recently or something. I don't know. It's fucking nuts. But he gets on the dance floor and he does like poppers. It's like this crazy scene. It's really great. You should go check it out. Cruisin'. Yeah. USA.
It was a good time for doing drugs back then. Like the 70s? The 70s.
Yeah, before AIDS.
Right before AIDS.
Yeah.
When there were still Quaaludes.
Yeah, ludes.
Things were getting a little bit better and more, you know, chemically than they were in the 60s. So it was like a trippier, heavier time. But then,
yeah.
Pre-AIDS, also a dark time.
That's yeah, very dark time actually.
Yeah,
probably the
yeah.
dark one of the darker.
Well, times. And the early '80s. I think the early '80s were as dark as it gets. Like the '70s hangover. There was the dawn of AIDS. Early '80s, not a good time.
Yeah, that's when I was born.
Me too. 82. I rose from the ashes.
Yeah,
of that
Reagan,
broken America.
Reagan babies.
Yep.
Ugh.
And you want to play some music for us?
I do.
Let's hear it.
I'm gonna keep those sad songs going.
Good.
This is a song by an artist from 1941 named Yak Taylor.
Oh, shit.
This is a track called Knocking Myself Out.
Someone named Yak had a rough life.
And this is like a weed song, but she uses the term, I'm going to kill myself, as a, I think she's talking about smoking weed?
Weed was heroin back then.
It's a really, really harsh, I don't know. If you don't think it's about weed, it's a pretty heavy song. But if you think about it, it's about weed, it's like kind of cheesy. So check this song out.
I used to didn't blow gauge, drink nothing. nothing of the kind. But my man quit me and I changed my mind. That's why I'm knocking myself out. Yes, I'm just killing myself. I knock myself out gradually by degrees. I'm gonna blow this jive. It's a sin and a shame, but it's the only thing that eased my heart about my man. When I knock myself out, Lord, when I kill myself, I just knock myself smack out gradually by degrees.
So we were talking about this, like, we came up with a sex move. I mean, we really have no like place even naming the sex move because there's no way I'm ever going to do it. But it's called the Vantucky Princess.
Yeah.
And the girl blows a line of meth up your dick hole, and then you blast cum in her bangs like a tiara.
I think you can just add anything to Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, it's like I think it may be an open source.
Yeah.
That's the Vantucky
Princess. Fucking...
You just have to use it in a sentence properly.
That just seems difficult.
Difficult and just extravagant.
Yeah, and also a waste of meth.
And probably painful as fuck.
Because no one's getting high off that.
Well, some people we might do it just for the experience. Some people are just like, that's the point they're at in their relationship where I don't necessarily want to do meth. I'm you know, of two minds about that, but I definitely want to try this thing where I nut crystal meth in my girlfriend's hair like a crown.
Yeah, you'd have to get that shit down fine because, like,
I think that's like the 11th anniversary or something like that. It's like wood, silver,
the crystal anniversary.
Yeah,
because like
wood, silver, crystal.
Well, like in the meth world that I was in was actually like more the gay meth world because that's just who I got all my stuff from, and Well, I don't know. It's an anonymous thing. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. But the it's big with the gay community, mm-hmm. and there's like, you know, they're easier to deal with. They.
Well, because you always associate just like very superficially, you associate like crystal meth with, like, you know, West Virginia and like white trash kind of like,
well, like
deeply impoverished communities.
Yeah, or like, you know, I mean, like the tweakers here in Portland, you know, not far from this neighborhood, or in this neighborhood, the kind of white thug, kind of white trash.
Yeah.
Quotes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't like dealing with those people because those are the fucking psychopaths. And, when, you know, instead you deal with these gay guys and they're nice and, you know, I don't know. It's just an easier. It was just the people that I dealt with to deal with drugs, and it's. But they got their own world, and it's fucking crazy and sketchy and weird. And there's a lot of weird overlap, and there's like a lot of I don't know, man. I could go on forever about that shit. I mean, it is a very strange world, and
it's like the movie Labyrinth.
Yeah, but you know, it definitely you know, you end up hanging out because meth wasn't in my peer circle.
Right.
I ended up hanging out. You know, I had to go to another world to get my shit. And then I ended up hanging out in that world more. You just like fucking the shit you come across is nuts. And there's like, you know, and it makes people hypersexualize and it makes them do things that, like, you know, they maybe wouldn't necessarily be into. Because they're just going up and up and up and up. Right. And one of them was like, well, I like, you know, you'd hang out at this guy's house and you'd look and you'd be like, what the fuck is that? And it'd be like a sounding stick.
What is a sounding stick?
We talked about sounding on this episode when we were talking about how it's so funny that the soccer team in Seattle is called the Sounders.
Yeah.
Like, what if they walked around with like big posts sticking out of their dick holes?
Oh, this
sounding
is when you put things in. Yeah.
And I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, even I'm like, you know.
Have a pretty
I'm into
big
some pretty
dickle,
fucking weird shit.
No
I mean, I can be. I mean, I'm not like, you know. And even I was like, no way, man. No
How big around was the stick?
What? Dude, there was all different sizes.
Oh, it was incremental? It was like a drill bit set?
Yeah.
It was like gauging your ear.
Sounding sticks.
It was a gauging cone.
God, no time for that.
And,
but,
and the biggest one was hollow, and you would pour wine into it and make yourself a human decanter.
Yeah. It's
couldn't spill.
It's raw. I mean, people are into some weird stuff, I guess, but, you know, yeah, I guess meth will do that to you, but...
It's, I am. There's a lot of questions I have. I'm just very curious about this. And you mentioned
about sounding.
Well, not about sound. I think I know everything I need to know about sounding. All my questions have been answered about sounding. But just like talking about when you talked about like the fact the meth wasn't in your like peer circle, like the people who were around the most aren't giving you this, and like how do you jump that, and then how do you go from a like the community that you know and have and people you've known for a long time into a world that's like so.
Well, it's very weird because it's like you, it's weird to have parallel fucking universes in the same space, you know? I walk by a building in Portland and when I'm with someone like my strange wife or my friends or someone I do comedy with and it's like nothing. And then I walk by that same building when I'm trying to score meth and I'm in a different mode. It's really weird. It's made it easier to stop because... I don't really have to divorce any people in my life.
Right, right.
And also, too, I mean, it's just the nature of my addiction was different because I was not really using it recreationally. I was using it, like, more of a utilitarian purpose.
Right.
So it's made it harder and easier. A lot easier, actually, I think, more so because... Yeah, I'm not around it. Most, you know.
You're not missing any of the people that are there. There's no, like, emotional attachment to that world.
There was a couple people maybe I was close with. One person who I, you know, could still be in contact with that is pretty cool. That and then another guy who unfortunately died this summer.
Jeez.
So that I was close with. So, yeah, aside from that, no. And then, you know. I actually feel worse for people that are really bad, like really addicted to alcohol and stuff like that. Alcohol is probably a secondary problem for me, but I realized how tied in with the meth addiction it was because it hasn't been stopping drinking hasn't been that big of a problem, and if it were, it would be so much harder because no one thinks that shooting meth 8 times a day is acceptable behavior.
No.
Or convenient.
Yeah, yeah, convenient or anything. Or the president doesn't do it on TV. It's not everywhere you go in life. It's not at the fucking grocery store. It's not here right now. If I had to really, if I had the problem with alcohol as I had with meth, it would be so much harder. So I sympathize with people that... that have that problem. Like, you know, like...
Let me ask you something, because I've never known any addicts in my life, but I've known a lot of people who would say, "Oh, I have an addictive personality." And that phrase to me is like nails on a chalkboard because it just seems like a narcissist making excuses for their selfish behavior in the absence of genuine addiction. So, do you feel like there's something intrinsic about you that inclines you toward addiction? Do you feel as if you have a true addictive personality?
No, I don't. I don't feel like I have an addictive personality. I think I have. In addiction to a particular thing, which would be stimulants, particularly amphetamine-based stimulants, which I had to Adderall long before I did to methamphetamine. No, in fact, actually, through this process, I've learned that. I mean, if anything, I have just as bad of an addiction to fucking high fructose corn syrup than I do to anything.
Everyone does.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, but no, in terms of like other drugs or anything like that, I mean, I don't. It was just meth, and that, you know, it's an addictive drug. I don't know. There are people, though, I know that you have addictive personalities, and it's like anything for them. Gambling, fucking whatever they do, they're just fucking, they're just compulsive people. And they're, I don't think I'm one of those people.
No.
No. The last thing I was just going to say about that is that, a lot of the stuff that's gone on in my life that, like, I'm dealing with right now is not even connected with the addiction end of it. It's, like, dealing with my own personal... Like, that... I could remove the drug at any time.
Right.
It's just, like, when I'm dealing with myself personally, that's what I'm...
Yeah, and those things like are connected. It's
yeah, totally, totally. So that's what's actually the big changes I've made in my life, or just like working on myself, which I've never done, you know.
And you mentioned earlier, like you said, you're ready for it, and I think that's a common kind of treatment sort of thing, or when people finally get to that place where they allow themselves to go there and do that. But I think that's the same with any kind of behavioral change.
Yeah.
People just like, I'm a pretty like historically complacent person with my own self, and to make any changes, like I can make a list of why I should and show these positive reasons, but until you're like prepared to and you just kind of accept that's where you are, it doesn't tend to happen.
Well, that's what happened. Was I made a list of pros and cons, and I was like, all the pros about me were fucking cons too. Like, I'm like an optimistic person for whatever reason. We've been not even being given reasons to, but I was using that. I was just like having a low standard of living, and then like I don't know other things like being charming. Well, I was just like manipulating, you know, like things like that. So now I'm trying to make those pros like, you know, not cons. You know,
is that a perspective thing? Because if you can flip the switch either way, then it isn't dependent on like how you're feeling that day. So for example, if charm is a double-edged sword, it can be you can be really you can connect with people a little more easily. You can
Of course. But I can also use it to mask bad things that are going on.
Totally,
in life.
And you can like you said manipulate people. But is it just a matter of perspective? Like, do you want to keep that part of yourself that's essentially charming? You just want to learn to look at it constantly.
I just
want to
live a better life. So how it manifests is a positive way. And the way I was living my life was definitely a negative. Was mainly being used for negative.
So it sounds like you were able to do this pretty like rationally. Like you seem like super rational about this as a process.
Yeah,
is that you feel like that's typical? Is that like is that possible for most addicts or most people that have been in this situation?
No, I mean a lot of the people I'm around in treatment are in a lot of ways like far behind me because I did a lot of preparation before it and I have a lot of self awareness. And a lot of these people, unfortunately, it's sad. They weren't they just don't know what's going on. So they're like kind of like really stunted intellectually or I don't know what it is, but it's like they're like fucking stuck in like kid shit that I'm not. But then in other ways I'm very much stunted like emotionally. I never really developed as a fucking adult or as a child. I mean I had a fucked up childhood and it made me stuck, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So
the behaviors that follow and a lot of things you have to deal with on the personal side.
But I was like, I was intellectually adept and I was socially very well. So I was able to mask those things for my whole life. And that's why comedy has been like really an interesting thing because like I'm able to joke about all this stuff, but it's like.
Well, and that's something I've noticed about you too, not only just like, and not in your comedy specifically, but just in talking to you, is like you're totally without pretension about any of this stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like.
There's no judgment, but you're also not like beating yourself up about it. You know, you just have a very realistic perspective about everything. You seem very honest and you seem very comfortable with yourself. Which I think would be another advantage to having to deal with some of this stuff is just.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's just like, I have to like. The problem I had before, I think, and this is what I had with comedy, was that I would call it curated honesty. Whereas, like, you talk about something that's really fucked up, and then people go, oh, whoa, he's really honest about himself. Well, yeah, but you're, like, pulling the wool over their eyes about a bunch of other shit that you're not being honest about.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm trying to eradicate all of that and just try to be a lot more transparent as a person now.
It's like people always present a version of themselves.
Yeah, yeah,
even if
exactly.
It's technically true, it's still a version.
Yeah, know? Of course. Yeah, yeah. You can't. If anyone was like fucking completely honest about everything, man, they'd be fucking a psychopath, man. I wouldn't want to be around that person.
No. Well, this has been a dark segment. Let's switch it into some music.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, you gonna bump some tunes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tim, you got something sad, or should we go to Andy with something happy?
Maybe something happy.
All right, let's go something happy, and we'll get back to the sad. I'm sure we'll circle back to that. What you got for us, Andy?
All right, so.
It's the song Happy.
It's the song Happy by Pharrell.
By Pharrell.
Yeah, this is actually
it's
that
the 24-hour version.
It's fantastic. This is a local band called Patrimony.
Oh.
They just put the single out on New Year's Day. It's called All You Got Is All You Need. Yeah!
Your star lay under the moonlight. You don't show.
Prevailing wisdom on LCD sound system. Everyone loves them, right? Or they're supposed to.
I like them.
I just can't. I never got into it. They have one song, I Can Change.
Do you like electro pop really or dope. Like electro punk?
Somewhat.
Remember what they used to call it back then? Dance punk?
Dance
or electro
punk.
Clash?
Yeah.
Like the early 2000s?
Like Atari Teenage Riot?
Oh, Atari Teenage Riot, I love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I like them. Maybe I like the sound of these descriptors better. Better than I like
but
it.
I wouldn't say LCD sound system is like Atari Teenage Riot, would you?
No, they were. That's what I thought they were going to be.
Yeah,
but it turned out to be a lot more dancey and a lot more like accessible.
Yeah,
you know, it was like the precursor to like the MGMT or like Foster the People movement.
Yeah.
But like I don't know, the dude who started it that also started an amazing record label, DFA, Death From Above.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of great, you know, kind of experimental electronic music on there that I wouldn't call EDM or IDM or any of that stuff. It's like, you know.
What kind of music is Air considered?
Air's probably considered down-tempo.
Yeah.
Tempo.
Yeah.
But they do have some stuff that's techno. They have some like hard techno stuff too.
Interesting.
I felt like some of the early stuff was like that. That I heard, like, I don't know. I remember in high school and stuff listening to them. But Atari Teenage Riot was fucking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Man, my brother walked in the room when I was listening to Atari Teenage Riot. Man, that kid would catch a beating. Rage Against the Machine or Atari Teenage Riot. Mm. Fucking forget about it.
Yes.
That shit got me amped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That'll jack you up.
Yeah.
What else were you listening to when you were a kid? I think we talked about this a little bit, but what else was on the playlist when you were like 12, 13 years old?
Well, I listened to a lot of Public Enemy. I like.
Oh, yeah. You were big into hip hop.
Yeah.
Funny.
I was into hip hop and I was into like metal and stuff. I don't know. I really liked growing up. Yeah. I liked probably, well, like 12. Probably was listening to a lot of Rage Against the Machine, Primus, you know, like the Woodstock 94
yeah.
soundtrack.
It was a good one.
I remember that box set.
Yeah, dude,
it was like a four-disker.
Yeah.
Where do you, because you...
Nine Inch Nails, I listened to a lot of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I mean, yeah. I loved Nine Inch Nails when I was in, like, middle school. That was one of my
favorite I still do. I mean, I don't know about any of their new stuff.
They think he's touring this next year, and yeah. they're putting out a new record, but... So I'll definitely listen to it. But you're saying the house band for your show is going to be, like, Noise. Noise, core, Noise,
well,
whatever.
No, it's like, she does, like, really... you should check her out. She's on EMS, Bandcamp. Eat My Shit. It's Vern.
Sounds right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah,
sounds perfect.
Hers is a lot more. I would be hard for me to describe it, but more atmospheric.
Mm.
And she's on those. They've been doing this series of shows at Lovecraft once a month called Vault Divers.
Okay.
And she's been on those a bunch. And you know, I really like it, but what it's going to be far more of a joke, I guess, what she would do for the show, because basically it'll be like, you know, if you're like, if I'm hosting and if we're like a regular show and there was like a house band and you're like, all right, let's give it up for, and then, you know, call it the next comedian instead of having, you know, like how they do on, you know, like The Roots or something on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, everyone is just fucking, you know, overstimulated with a loud drone. That, yeah. So yeah. What she'd
That'd
be doing
be
for the show would be far more of a joke than what she does in her.
Sure.
But you know, and then me and her are also our music project too. We're gonna premiere a song at the end of the show. The name of our project's called Sads, because the name of our podcast we're gonna do is called the Soft Apocalypse Podcast. So it's gonna be the Soft Apocalypse Duo does the sad song.
Strong name.
Yeah, Sads. Two D's, two S's.
Is it going to be music-based? Are you biting our shit? Are you going to talk about comedy? Or
no, anything? I don't know what. We're going to be talking about, like...
I don't think we have ownership of that shit, though.
Yeah, we own music, all right?
Yeah,
back off, podcast.
No, we're going to have, like...
You stole it from
guests.
Us.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple of guests. And we're actually, no. What we're going to do is purposefully going to have... Maybe someone from comedy world, someone from music world, someone from any other world, and then not talk about either one of those things.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the loose idea we've had thus far. But yeah, we would like to. We should probably do a thing together sometime.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd love to
cool.
do that. That would be a blast.
Yeah,
we'd be all about that. Yeah. What do you want to play some music right now? You got some
sure. Play? Well, I guess this would be a... This is actually... All right, this is how apropos... I guess I use that term correct, maybe. I don't know.
You did?
I use it a lot, and I don't care about...
This time it stuck.
Yeah, I use that term a lot, and I don't know if I'm using it right, and I don't want to know. This is going to be the first song I think we do. The song that you heard last time is also the song, the Please Hurt Me song, is a cover we're going to do, but... this one here, and this is one that, Without You by Nilsson.
No, I can't forget this evening, or your face as you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes, your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. No, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. Well, I had you there,
then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know. Oh, I can't live if living is without you. I can't live, I can't give any. Just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows.
Whippets will fuck you up. If you do, like, a case of Whippets to the dome, you feel, like, completely hollow inside the next day.
Your brain
is goo.
Sounds
It's not
awful.
Good. It's not made.
Yeah, don't do a case of them. I mean, they're not that bad for you if you did them.
If you do, like, one, and if you also, don't hyperventilate your Whippets. Just take it in, hold it, and let it out.
All the drugs that I do recreationally, so I would have to, you know, one
well,
or
I don't,
two.
Yeah, well, Whippets is supposed to be recreationally, and if you are addicted to Whippets, you have a fucking problem. I think worse than, like, even addictive drugs. I mean, because, like, it's kind of like that episode of Intervention where a girl is addicted to dust off. You ever seen that? Like, that's, like, weird shit to be addicted to. Makes you fucking retarded. Or mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
It's like huffing gas or something.
On this show, you're still allowed to say retarded.
Yeah.
We've cut out a lot of my pro-retard talk.
Bruce France.
Yeah.
This is a safe place for
yeah,
the R-word.
Yeah, safe place for retard?
Yeah. Yeah. The R-words and the R-word.
I said retarded on stage the other day and fucking...
Soft boo?
No. Went fine.
Round of applause?
I felt like it was about yoga class. I have to take yoga now because of this program and... I've had a lot of yoga related material because it's really tough to do yoga because I'm a pervert and yoga is rough. Everyone looks like a BDSM mime at yoga, and then it made me. I was thinking about how because it gives me a lot of anxiety over how perverted my mind is, and about how much anxiety I have with left versus right. And I said it made me feel like a retarded Marquis de Sade. And, you know, I felt like I was just by saying retarded, but nah, it's, you know.
It's an edgy joke for that very
reason. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, not even for the part that I'm saying I'm like Marquis de Sade, who's a fucking pervert, saying the word retard. It's like, it's fine.
It's people. The last taboo.
Yeah. I we'll used to have a joke where I said I'm allowed to say retard. I'm from Boston.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is kind of in the vernacular. Yeah.
Wicked retard.
Fucking retarded? What are you...
So I've got a drinking horn this New Year's online.
I saw that drinking horn.
It's hanging on the wall now.
It's amazing.
Tight.
And I thought, like, horn. You know, Happy New Year, like, I'll drink all my drinks out of this horn. Mm-hmm. Fuck no, don't ever do that. It's, like, sealed for liquid on the inside, but the outside is just horn. and it got soaked with mine and everybody else's mouths and, you know, drink splashing out of it.
So
and
the edge of it was just soggy,
kind of tasted like a cow smells. And
you set that drink down.
You pretty much just have to have this horn around your neck by the leather strap attached to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not hollowed out all the way down.
It doesn't spill out?
No. You just hold it upright and it's awkward.
It's a big horn.
It holds about 16
like,
ounces.
You know, close to 2 feet long. All for, curled up there.
For the length of this drinking horn, you'd think it would hold like a 22 at least. It holds 16 ounces. I mean,
that's not very much. I mean, that's a lot of liquor, but that's not a lot of beer.
Right. Yeah. It's a novelty beer.
Yeah.
And but you were passing it around.
Yeah. I was passing it around. I was just pouring drinks that people were giving me into it and drinking them out of it instead. It was a mess.
Well, that's kind
of
your dream come true.
I had a good night with it, but I don't think I'm going to be drinking out of a horn anytime soon.
Yeah.
But if any metal bands are looking for a good drinking horn for their stage show,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent idea.
To drink blood out of.
Yeah. Or some kind of a strong mead.
Yeah. Ugh. My old roommate used to make his own mead and it and
it's
I would,
fucking terrible.
And I was poor and he had lots of it. And that shit is gross.
Yeah, you're like a 15th century monk for that period of time.
Yeah, or just someone that lived in a shitty house off a Holgate. Gross.
Homemade mead, yeah.
Homemade mead.
Yeah.
I try to romanticize it a little bit.
Full of black mold. There's black mold in the mead.
Oh, man. So this British company this week came out with a new way to play music for babies, for pregnant women.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called the baby pod, and you insert it into the vagina. it's the first internal speaker.
What makes it uniquely suited to be... Is it like how is it fitted for the vagina?
Well, it's kind of egg shaped.
Any more it's than an earbud up there with
it. It's completely waterproof and all whatever, and it's got like a speaker in it that plays at a low decibel that the baby can hear. And you know, before that, you know, a lot of women would like put headphones up to their stomach, and you know, like babies do show signs of noticeably like liking music being played to them while in the womb. In like later trimesters. Thanks. All of my children, definitely, when my wife would like play music against her stomach, you could totally
really
feel her getting down.
Sometimes they would kick more and stuff. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, would she play it through, just put a speaker up to it? Or?
Yeah, she would just put a speaker up to her stomach.
Or did she craft her own vaginal
She did
speaker?
Not have her own vaginal speaker. This is the next step. It's called the baby pod.
Does it have its own music, like Baby Einstein?
No, it's got a line in. It's also got two jacks, so you can put a pair of headphones against. You could put a line from your iPod into this thing and put it up in your vagina and then have a line out to your headphones so you can both be listening to it.
I'm just picturing like a shower radio, just like with like rubber edges and plastic. And
it's kind of what it looks like. It's a small pink egg.
Oh, yeah. It is a small pink egg. Looks a little bit like a piggy bank that you put your birth control into.
It's not Bluetooth.
Oh, you
it
can't
still
sync?
Has to have a wire.
You can't sync with the phone in your pocket? That's an oversight.
Yeah.
Oh, that means that if she fucking it starts, you know, because you said you can listen to it in your ears. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're listening to something funky and she starts jerking, the line can pop out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, so you're saying that the baby can be listening to the same thing the mom is listening to?
Yeah, yeah. You can.
It's running out of her vagina.
Yeah, you have to have a line in from your iPod and then a line out for your headphones.
And a thick auxiliary cord that will stretch that extra.
They recommend only using it for like 10 to 20 minutes at a time. But
Or else it becomes potentially fatal to the fetus.
Like, let's say you have it hooked up to a Discman and fucking you're not listening to it, and then the disc starts skipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your kid's going to be all fucked.
Right. Yeah. Scarred for life.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a favorite, but it sounds like a really necessary and useful product.
I think so.
What kind of music did your fetal children listen to?
Reggae, strictly reggae beats.
They were grooving on it, huh?
Yeah. Ollie, especially, my oldest son, is really into music, and I think it's partially because he heard so much music when she was pregnant. She would go to a lot of concerts and stuff, and he's just super into music. He's already, like, DJing parties and shit.
I think it's one of those things that, emergency when you're feeling the first tickle of a cold. Maybe it doesn't really do anything, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
It's effervescent.
At the very least, you know, it's like it's a benign treat for your child. And at the very best, it's like a genius maker.
Yeah.
And your kids
might as well. I mean, it's and also brightness. It's just a shared experience you all can have.
Totally, yeah.
The vagina, the thing up in the wife's vagina. You're listening.
Everyone can enjoy that.
You guys got one fucking butt in. You know, like on the like how like kids do on the fucking bus.
That's the That's like the ultimate romantic thing for a young married couple expecting their first child. You just pop that vagina speaker up there, and then you split the earbuds while you're listening to a song.
And then you put
your foreheads together, and you split.
And you both put your head on the belly.
Yeah,
and then it's like kind of looks like the internal diagram of a vagina,
right? And it's like,
but like it's your head
sonically
outside of it,
this emotional circle.
So here's what you do: you take your AM/FM radio, put the line in from that
Art Bell
into
right
the baby pod, and then a three-way splitter out. And then you all have your own set of headphones and a headset of headphones on the outside, so the baby gets surround sound.
You listen to angry talk radio.
You just listen to like right-wing conservative media.
No, you listen to Coast to Coast. Baby comes out.
Baby comes
talking
out.
About shadow
ready for
people.
The world.
It'll be great.
You will not be a sheeple.
Yeah.
Man,
I think that's a great place to go out for this week. Tim, appreciate you being here, man. Where can people keep track of what you're up to? Is there a good place that we can follow you or find you?
I mean, on Facebook. Just friend me on Facebook. That's the best way. I mean, I have a Tumblr, timledwith, comedy.tumblr, but like that doesn't really, I don't update it, and it just has a bunch of weird shit on it. My Twitter, at timledwith. On Twitter is a good way, and my friend me on Facebook, Tim Ledwith. I don't know, my profile picture changes, but you know, there's not that many of us in Portland, Oregon. I don't think there's any. So,
and you said your show's starting on January 25th at High Watermark.
At High Watermark, and that'll be the last Monday of the month. So. So every last Monday of the month. Yeah.
Awesome. And anything else coming up on the calendar that people should know about?
When will this be out?
It's going to be out by the 14th.
The 14th? Okay, yeah. So I am on I'm on a show at the Alberta Street Pub on the 17th. No, and also American Comedy at Holocene same night. I don't know how that's going to work. At Holocene, and then also I'm on Earthquake Hurricane at Velocult on the 20th, and then there's something maybe I want to say on the 16th or the 26th, or I don't know, something at the No that's about conspiracy theories or something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then on the 30th, I have that show what we were talking about earlier where I'm stripping.
Yep.
Headlining that at Funhouse. I don't know what the name of that show is. And then the 25th.
It was a busy couple weeks for you, man.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Are out there. And basically, any place anyone goes any of those weekends, they're going to run into you.
Yeah. Just, yeah, I'm going to. I'm pretty busy this month. But the show that I'm producing and doing, that'll be the last Monday of the month at High Watermark at 9 p.m.
Awesome.
I believe, I don't know what the. Oh, the one in February is on a day that isn't supposed to happen. The 29th.
Nice.
Ooh, yeah. Better catch that one because it's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
Speaking of not happening again, that's not this show. You can catch us every week. And the best way to do that is subscribe to our show on iTunes. We'd also love to hear from you. It's a brand new year, brand new you, and we want to know what you're all about. So write into the show at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Andy, where are we going on the way out today?
Well, since Tim is doing some comedy, that's kind of a comedy slash strip thing, I thought I'd give him a track suggestion. If he were to be stripping, this is a song he would totally have to strip to.
Okay.
This is DJ Valentino with Suck My Dick.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tim Ledwith, thank you again for being on the show. Really appreciate you being here and sharing some stories. For Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. We'll see you next time on Hot Garbage.
Motherfucking dick. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Dick. Suck my dick. Suck my dick. Dick. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Dick. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfuck. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Dick. Suck my dick. Suck my dick. Suck my dick.
Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah. Suck my dick. Suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah. Suck my dick. Yeah.